Jamie McManus with the perfect music mix for Sligo, Leitrim and Donegal.
The perfect music mix. Ocean
You are welcome to Play Irish. That is Those Nervous Animals and the Business Enterprise. You are very welcome along to a very special Play Irish Hour here on Ocean FM. And as you know, it's Irish Music Month here on Ocean FM and across the nation. All thanks to the BAI Sound and Vision Fund, XL Retail and Hot Press Magazine. And as part of that, I am so glad to be joined on the show by a man who, well, he's done more for Irish music here in the Northwest with his, well, is Sounds Records label, but you probably know him better for the record room in town. Aidan Mannion, a very good evening to you and welcome to Ocean FM. Put on those headphones, you'll hear me better.
Thanks, Chevy.
Put on those headphones and come into that microphone. There we go. Oh, now we have it. I was listening to you on the monitor. That was wrong.
All right.
How are things, Aidan?
Good, good. It's a pleasure being here in Rathrippin, where I started my whole interest in music, actually, out the road here in this townland in my grandmother's house, where my aunt used to buy 7-inch singles. And I was only a young teenager at the time. And people like Johnny McAvoy, Mairchin Durkin, Larry Cunningham. For some reason or other, I remember a single called by Sean Fagan and Sonny Knowles and the Regal Show Band, She Wears My Ring, what? For some reason or other. And it was more the technology of the fact that you could get sound out of a plastic disc.
Yeah.
And in fact, the little record player she had was that small that the record was wider than the actual player itself. You remember those type of records? And that's what started me with music. A fascination with music. And then I went on to buy stuff myself, singles and records. And in fact, again, the same aunts out there regularly sponsored a single or an LP. In fact, I was buying singles from Bernie Morahan over in Teeling Street, which was a television shop, and he used to do records. I can remember buying an EP, of course, for people who don't know what an EP is. It's a 4-track, 7-inch single of the Beach Boys with Help Me Rhonda on it. And then going to Broderick's another time and buying my first long playing record, and that was a Rory Gallagher one, Taste on the Boards.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a taste of what we have coming up for you now. You've kind of picked some music that we're going to be playing across the hour, and you're here for the hour, which is great. I'm hearing a beep. Did you hear a beep in your head?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know where that beep's coming from. Yeah. I don't know. There's someone trying to interfere with us.
That's not me anyway. I'm not beeping.
We're kind of going from Tom Moore, Indian, Shamie O'Dowd, Thin Lizzy, Freddie White. That's kind of where we're going.
Yeah.
But I think we better kick off with a bit of music. We have lined up Margaret O'Rourke. Now, tell me a little story about that.
Well, the first of all, Margaret was a wonderful singer, and we did an album with Margaret. But it's more to represent the whole time of the show bands and my sort of introduction to the show bands. Margaret was a singer with the High Lows show band and in her day. And I also, a couple of doors down from the record room where we opened the record room, the Savoy Cinema, and in that was an absolute treasure of the old show band scene, and that was John McGivern, Johnny Macaroni, and he ran the Ballroom Romance. And John was a great friend of mine and such a wonderful man with stories. And there's a whole story in him himself, isn't there?
Yeah, there is, absolutely.
And like when you go through the show band era in Sligo, even alone, and then sort of as well as the interest in the show band side of it, started listening to Radio Caroline, Luxembourg, on the old Murphy radio in the house. The mother and father had put up me going to the kitchen, having a listen. And of course, you couldn't put it on until it went dark because you couldn't pick up the signal until it became dark. People don't understand that today, that the radio wouldn't work. The channel couldn't be picked up until it got dark. And that led on to a huge interest in music and the record side of it. And that's why I picked Margaret, because she represents that show band's side of life, you know?
Let's hear Margaret.
Passed she more than fairy hills, where
That's Margaret O'Rourke, and that's kind of your first piece of music here on the show, and lovely Leitrim. That kind of started it all, really, isn't it?
It did, because it's coming out of that. Certainly my life in music comes from the originally listening to show bands and my aunt, and again, it just shows you where, you know, people today would say, well, maybe that wasn't cool, but in its day, the show band was where it was at, and the amount of business and in the music business that the show bands did in their day was phenomenal. And Margaret O'Rourke, to me, represents a classic show band singer of her day, and she'd stand up against anybody these days.
So absolutely. Now, you've recorded a lot of artists.
Yeah, and Margaret was one of the people that we did do, and Sound Records really came out of the record room, and we'll be talking about where the record room came into play in 1983 when we set up the record room. Myself and Kevin Flannery and Jerry Tahaney were involved in it up in High Street, and Larry Gogan opened the shop for us on its first day. I think you were there, Jamie.
He was a gent.
Yeah,
he was
absolute.
A gent.
Larry Gogan was, and he deserves the attribution of being a legend, and he really was in every respect. Lovely man to work with. The record room, the Jerry Tahaney, who was involved with me, and Kevin, was a great mentor of mine musically. He took me into all sorts of artists and types of music over the years. He had a huge collection of LPs, and again, I'd attribute a lot of my interest in music to what I picked up from Jerry. He was a great character.
No, but getting to the traditional music,
yes.
Which is big in the shop.
That's a huge part of the whole heritage of County Sligo. I mean, County Sligo, the home of people like Michael Coleman and James Morrison and Paddy Killorden. I mean, you know, and no disrespect to places around the country, but who get a lot more publicity on RTE than we do in Sligo. But Sligo is as important a place in the country as any places, any of the places like Kerry or Clare or any of those places.
You've picked out Declan Folan here to... And you reckon he represents
Declan to me is probably one of the most stylish, and particularly in the Sligo style of fiddle players today, and follows on that tradition that Michael Coleman and Paddy Killorden and James Morrison are so important to in Irish fiddle music.
Right, let's wrap up the first part of this with Declan Folan. Well, I can definitely hear what you're on about there, Declan Folan, and you reckon that's the Sligo style.
That to me is almost like a definition of Sligo style playing by Declan. He's a wonderful, wonderful musician, and we're very proud of our association over the years in the shop with all the local musicians. We carried every one of their albums. We did the first album with Dervish. We approached Shane Mitchell and Liam Kelly to do an album for us. We had the idea to call it The Boys of Sligo. They went off down to Ross Trevor. We employed Jim Lockhart to act as the producer for us down there, and Colm Sands produced it. And I can actually, every time I listen to the record, I can see the sunny days we had down in Ross Trevor. It was just a magical, and that's a wonderful album. And Dervish have gone on to amazing things since. And to me, in my opinion, again, are probably the best traditional band playing today in Ireland.
Absolutely. Right, we got to take a break, but we're back with more after these.
Ocean FM's Ocean Drive.
Thanks to Currys PC World Sligo Retail Park, Carrow Row. Mega kitchen appliance sale now on. Currys PC World. We won't be beaten on price.
I don't know where the time is going, but I'm enjoying listening to our very special guest, Aidan Mannion, here in a student studio from the Record Room. Aidan, enjoyed that. We're going to another period now. And a gent, I absolutely love this man, yeah. Tom Moore.
Tom Moore is a very special man in my musical life, in that I remember buying the Pumpkinhead album, which was the first one that they put out, and then Midnight Well. And then I had the pleasure of doing his first solo album on Sound Records. It was the second record after Dervish on the Sound Records label. And we had such legends as Shamie O'Dowd, Francie Lenehan, Garvin Gallagher, who was a bass player, on that recording with Tom. And to me, it's a magical recording of Tom. And unfortunately, Tom has left us now. And there's a big hole in certainly my life, because every time he came to Sligo, he used to come in and have a chat. We'd go and have a cup of coffee, and he'd talk about the business. And he said to me one time that he'd have lived in Sligo for the rest of his life if he could be sure of £100 a week. Right. And unfortunately, he couldn't be sure of it. And I think on the same day, I said, right, well, there's £100 there for you if you write a song. And he went off and wrote a song called The Hill Beyond the Strand. And that Tom Moore, to me, epitomises what Sligo does to people from outside of Sligo. Tom Moore became more Sligo than Sligo himself. And this song, Believe Me Sligo, proves that.
On the road that runs from Sligo back to town again, round Knocknarea by Strantin and the Glen. In March when sidelong twilight sets the land aflame, I used to wonder, tell me where's the blame? For I could not walk the town for fear my heart would drown. Have sunk 100 times by girlish frown. A stranger than all stranger you will ever see. Than me, who loves all Latin's Sligo. Now half the world between me and that silent land. I bless all those in Sligo's dreaming. Thank you. lessons God has made for man. Though time has turned my face away from Notre Dame and brought me far from there on a better day. So
Sligo's national anthem, really.
I can't say anything else about that. I mean, you were talking to me there and I had to keep the headphones on my head listening to it. And I mean, I don't know how many times I've heard it, but particularly when you hear a song sung by the man who wrote it himself and with the feeling that he had for the place, it's just pure magic, pure magic.
Well, he's passed away, but he's still with us, isn't he?
He is. He is in every respect. I mean, he has some great songs. When you listen to Mary Black singing Carolina Rua, the Cavan Girl, you know, the things that the songs that he wrote, they'll stand up for a long, long time, you know. They're and like that whole scene with Tom took us along then into, at myself and Kevin then were sort of going to be the promoters of the world at one stage. We ran a series of gigs, I remember, in the Park Hotel.
I remember those.
And we had some great traditional artists. I think we had De Donnan and Patrick Street, and we were... Unfortunately, the gigs didn't go that well. It was very lonely standing on the door. They weren't that well supported at the time, but we had one great piece of luck at the end of it. We had the Dubliners booked for a Sunday night in the Park Hotel, and it was the night, the weekend, that went number one with the Pogues and the Irish Rover in the charts. We couldn't get them in. We could have had about 10,000 at the gig at the time. Even Jim Hand rang me, wanting to get out of the contract that I had with him for them to play. It was that sort of, we were so lucky. And all that did was sponsor the other gigs. And to be honest with you, I mean, that's one of the ways we ran a lot of things all over the years, where if we covered ourselves, we were very happy to do that, and particularly on the traditional side of it. And then I can't forget, of course, the Record Room Teenage Hops, which were, you know, I don't know, every person in Sligo must have been at a Record Room Teenage Hop in either the Baymount or the Park Hotel or the Southern Hotel. And I mean, the music there went from Iron Maiden to the Waterboys to Kylie Minogue. It was such a mixture of music. And Kevin was always playing a blinder in terms of the actual sound. And I mean, I'm sure there are plenty of listeners who were there. I had an incident in the shop one day there recently where a woman was in with me and we were talking, and she had a young girl with her. And I says, "Is this your girl?" Says he, "No," she says, "she's my granddaughter." And I says, "You were at our teenage hops and you're a granny," says I.
Well, that's it. That's what I said. So that's why I really wanted to have you in here. And, you know, those stories and the things that happen, like, because life passes very quick.
It does.
We're coming on to a really happy time now, I have to say. And probably, I know by you, because we're going to be doing something from Indian.
Yeah.
Joe on the
voice. Well, I can't say enough about Indian in terms of, we did three albums with them and they're all their own songs. If you listen to particularly the first album, for instance, it'll stand up against anything. And unfortunately, they were so close so many times, and you'll hear this in the record business, so many times we had international development directors fly in from LA. We had Ray Anderson, the vice president from Warner Music, fly in, loved the band. He left that position soon after he went to America. The development director that wanted to work with him changed positions in the company. We were over, I remember, in London. We were with Eaton's, who were one of the big, big music solicitors. They were going to structure everything for us. We were actually staying out in Robin Gibbs' residence out in Thame in Oxfordshire. It was one of those times, and it just never clicked. And I can never understand it, because when you listen to the songs that they have and Joe's delivery and the lads playing, when you go through them, like Jerry Sweeney's guitar playing, Christy on the drums, Leon on the bass. I mean, I just don't understand why it didn't work. And we were very lucky then to have a famous old American producer, Kim Fowley, who came over to us from America, and he came to Sligo one time on a flight, and I remember picking him up at the airport in Strand Hill, and we were bringing him to a gig in the Blue Lagoon, and on that night, and we came round by Cullion na Móra, and he just shouted, "Stop, stop, stop the car!" He wanted out straight away, so I had to stop the car and got out. And there was a field full of sheep. And he walked into the field of sheep and he stood like Jesus in the middle. "Now take a photograph of me," with his hands out. And this is the sort of people and characters that you meet in the music business. But if you Google Phil, if you Google Kim Fowley, he has a serious reputation and had in his day.
Absolutely.
But he was one of those characters.
You know? And they wrote a great song about him as well.
They did. And again... That song is so typical of Kim. Yeah. And Martin and Christy picked up on that so well in that song. So they did.
We're going to do a little bit of Assassination, one of your favourites. And we'll get a minute or two of this in. Here we go.
That was the first single we did with.
Indian Assassination is still one of my favourite tracks. And that was the first release from the album.
That was the first single we put out off the album. It was an awful shame because, as I said to you, I remember the number of bands that became major bands that played support Indian in Dublin at gigs. And we played Whelan's in the Roisin Dubh in Galway. They used to fill it. In fact, I think we might hold a record down in the Roisin Dubh. I think we did three nights in a row in the Roisin Dubh in Galway, which is one of the music venues in Galway, and they packed it every night. But that's the music business for you. The old Kit Kat ad is always nearly almost right. You look terrible, you sound awful, but you'll go far. And I mean, that says a lot about the music business.
But you're still smiling. We've got to take a break. We're back after these.
That's it.
Ocean FM's Ocean Drive.
Thanks to Currys PC World Sligo Retail Park, Carrara. Mega kitchen appliance sale now on. Currys PC World. We won't be beaten on price.
Very special Play Irish Hour here with thanks to Irish Music Month here on Ocean FM, supported by the BAI Sound and Vision Fund, XL Retail and Hot Press Magazine. And in studio with us this hour has been Aidan Mannion from The Record Room. And Aidan, I was going to say to you, all I can say to you is IOU and Westlife. And a couple of words on that.
That's right. Well, IOU were a previous manifestation of Westlife. And in fact, they were the original of the species. So they were in that sense. And in fairness to Mary McDonough, she put them together in her shows. And the six lads that were in it originally, and the we went to them and we did a single with them together, Girl Forever. And that got a bit of publicity. They were on the television visiting the hospital. We had some great contacts ourselves with BMG Records in Dublin, Michael St. Ledger and Freddie Middleton at the time. And in fact, in the Indian act nearly went that way as well because of that connection. But eventually, Louis took on the band, changed the name. And again, it's no coincidence, it was BMG that signed Westlife. And where are we today? We're so proud of our connection with them. They launched their first three singles in the shop. the guards told us we had to stop bringing them to town because they stopped the traffic and that they put the traffic round the town. So we couldn't bring them again to the shop to launch a single.
Great memories.
Oh, fantastic.
Absolutely.
And
great
memories. We're so proud of that connection. And it's phenomenal to see three lads from Sligo with that sort of amount. And the number was, when you look at the number of ones, Shane, that they've had, it's fantastic.
Well, that's it. Come here. Time is catching up with us, and the night wouldn't be, we couldn't let the night go by without talking about Seamus O'Dowd.
Another absolute legend. I mean, one of the, in my books, ranks as an internationally important guitar player. I mean, what he does on the acoustic guitar sometimes defies almost technology, certainly, and almost mechanics or his and then his playing of both Tin Lizzy and Rory Gallagher. I mean, it's no coincidence that he's top act in the Rory Gallagher Festival every year. The same thing with the Tin Lizzy side of it. Seamus, for me, is... I can't say enough about Seamus. And Seamus did this recording for us along with Donald Canan and Tommy Kivlin, literally at the drop of a hat for a charity record we were doing. And just have a listen to this.
It's Seamus O'Dowd and Sweet Home Chicago. Unbelievable.
And you can take it, they went in and did that live. It's an incredible recording, I think. And it's so typical of Seamus.
Anything he does.
And his generosity, to be honest. And the two lads, other two lads as well.
Oh, yeah. Great memories. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I tell you, that is the quickest hour I have ever had on the radio. And we have to do this again.
Yeah, we will.
No, we'll do this again. And apologies now. I know we cut one or two records and people don't be happy with that. But that's we were trying to get in and just do the story and get you in here.
Yeah.
And memories of the record room. And to thank. But you have a great memory that's going to play us out tonight.
Yeah.
Freddie White.
Yeah, again, the Freddie White... Freddie White singing the Part and Glass, and this has a lot of memories for me, particularly in connection with Gerry Tahaney. I remember us going to the Boys of Ballysadare Festival, and Freddie White doing the his famous song at the time. Desperados, waiting on the train or leaving on the train, and then. Later on, Gerry unfortunately left the record room business, and he emigrated to Australia. And unfortunately, Gerry left us a couple of years ago. And I know that he became a great friend of Freddie's. And this was the song that Freddie sung for him. And I'd like to also mention my 102-year-old aunt, who sponsored a lot of my LPs, who died only a couple of weeks ago and lived here in this town under Rathrippin.
All right, that's all we got. Aidan, thanks a million.
No problem.
Spend it in good. to the company and all the harm that Ira did. Alas, 'twas done to none but me, and all I've done for want of wit to memory now I can't recall. So fill to me the parting glass. Good night and joy be with you all. Oh, all the comrades that I have, they are sorry for my going away, and all the sweethearts that I love, they would wish me one more day to stay. But since it falls unto my lot that I should rise and you should not, I gently rise and softly call. Good night and joy be with you all.
Ocean FM's Ocean Drive.